How many know that the Lord has left America, the responsibility of this nation, really up to us? Well, those people over there, come on. How about us as God's representatives? Amen. His ambassadors who have been called, amen, to stand in the gap on behalf of this nation, to call in the kingdom reign of God into this nation. Amen. We are the salt. We are the light of the world in Christ. Amen. We need to be in prayer. We need to be petitioning the Father. We need to be involved, amen, at least to get out and do our part and vote. Can you say amen, somebody? Because what happens in Washington affects us. We cannot be sleeping on the job. Can you say amen? God wants every one of his people awake. Amen. God's heart is to save, heal, to deliver. God's heart, amen, is to redeem. Amen. I believe God wants to save America. How many would like to see America saved for Jesus? Amen. Just only half of you, but that's a start. Amen. Yeah. God wants us as his people, amen, to rise up in this opportune time. We have a window of opportunity right now. Don't let it slip away. We've got the momentum in the spirit right now. Things are happening. Amen. We are petitioning that God will invade Washington, D.C., that he'll invade Washington State. Amen. That there will be a great awakening in this nation. Amen. The church needs to wake up. Amen. And realize that it's our time to shine now. It's not for them over there to take care of it. It's for us together as the body of Christ to stand in the gap on behalf of this nation. Hallelujah. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, that would be us, and seek my face, then, and turn from their wicked ways. Very important. Then I will what? Hear from heaven. He'll respond, forgive our sin, and heal our land. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Do you think that I am personally responsible? Okay, for what I do in this body. God gave you charge of yourself. Amen. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's to be holy. Amen. I am to keep myself pure for God. I want to be a pure. How many want to be a pure vessel for God? Amen. And by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, we can be pure vessels. Amen. And we can be influencers by the power of God. Amen. There's only so much a man can do, but God can. Amen. Intervene. God can save. God can heal. God can break every stronghold. Yes. Hallelujah. So here we are. Satan, you're a liar. Jesus is Lord. And Jesus is Lord of America. We declare Jesus is Lord over the United States. We declare that Jesus is Lord over Washington State. Jesus is Lord over Shelton, Washington.
Amen.
And we say, Lord, invade this place with your glory. We need an invasion of glory from heaven to come down. Amen. In this place, right here, starting with us. Amen. In the church of Jesus Christ, which is his influence here in the earth, so that we will see a shift, a change, a transformation of our nation. Hallelujah. You know, God always dealt with the priesthood first. He dealt with his people. Amen. And as we align ourselves with God and quit playing with this, quit dabbling with Christianity. You don't dabble with Christianity. I mean, either you're a Christian or you're not. It's time for the church to rise up and be who we are. Be the people we are. Amen. We want to be Christians, amen. How many here want to be a Christian? If you're in Christ, you are, amen, a Christian. All right, a follower of Jesus. And then we need to walk in the Spirit. That's our responsibility, to obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Yes, we are righteous because Jesus declares us righteous. And why did he set us free? So that we can serve him. Free of guilt and shame and condemnation. Come on, I'm no longer bound by sin. I'm no longer bound by Satan. I'm a free man today by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I declare with my mouth what I believe in my heart, that Jesus is Lord. Amen. He's my Lord. Hallelujah. And He has set me free. Hallelujah. He has set me free. He has set me free. I will rejoice, for He has set me free. He has set me free. He has set me free. I will rejoice, for He has set me free. Hallelujah. Well, we're heading into Christmas pretty quick, aren't we? I mean, it's amazing that this last year was like a blur. You know, how many feel like time has sped up or something? Or maybe as you get older, they say it seems the hourglass, you know, the sand seems to go a little faster. I don't know. But I know one thing. It's just like everything seems to be on hyperdrive right now. And things are happening so quickly, and so many things are happening right now that the news media can't keep up with it. Amen? And, of course, you don't necessarily know what they're telling you these days, right? We have to be very careful, by the way, what we're listening to. Amen? Who we're listening to. There's so much deception today. And I think the enemy is trying to sow confusion so that people will quit trying to find out what's going on, too. We need the Holy Spirit and we need the Word of God primarily. Amen. We trust in Him. He's the Spirit of truth. He said He'll lead us into all truth. And He'll remind us of everything Jesus taught. And He'll also show us things to come. Amen. So we have the Spirit of God. If you're in Christ, you have the Spirit of God in you. And He is your guide. Amen. Hallelujah. Title of the message this morning is The Incarnate Deity. When Paul was on Mars Hill in Athens, Greece, in Acts 17:23, he says, "For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you." How many on your seat now? I want to know this God. Listen, I want Jonathan to share something that he brought up in our prayer meeting. This is so good. You go ahead and explain it, brother.
This is a, although we take all our authority from the Holy Scriptures, there are many, many writings in Constantinople and in the archives of the Vatican. So I'm going to read an eyewitness account of the shepherds the night Jesus was born. Doctors McIntosh and Twyman went to the Vatican and Constantinople in 1887, spent a number of years there, and they were brought these scrolls, some 68,000 scrolls written from the time of Jesus. And the Sanhedrin sent what they would call news media guys to interview people. So this is the interview. Jonathan's interview, that's not me, with the Bethlehem shepherds. And it's a letter to Melchior, the priest of the synagogue of Bethlehem. It's from the book of Sanhedrin, 88b, and order number 2. Jonathan, son of Heziel, questions the shepherds and others at Bethlehem in regard to this strange circumstances reported to have occurred there, and reports to this court, "Jonathan, to the masters of Israel, servants of the true God, in the obedience to your order, I met with two men who said they were shepherds and were watching their flocks near Bethlehem. They told me that while attending to their sheep that night, being cold and chilly, some of them had made fires to warm themselves, and some of them had laid down and were asleep. That they were awakened by those who were keeping watch with the questions." Now, Bethlehem, there was a big tower It was the birthing place of the lambs, the pure lambs that were going to be sacrificed at the in the temple. So there would always be shepherds all night watching, and as the lambs would lay a lamb down, when one was born, they'd run out and they'd inspect it. And if it was perfect in every way without defect, they would wrap them in this cloth, and it was called swaddling cloth. Mm-hmm. Interesting footnote there. Okay. Because he is our perfect lamb. And they said, behold, how light it is, that when they were aroused, it was light as day. But they knew it was not daylight, for it was only the third watch. All at once the air seemed to be filled with human voices saying, glory, glory, glory to the Most High God, and happy art thou, Bethlehem, for God hath fulfilled his promises to the fathers. For in the chambers is born the King that shall rule in righteousness. Their shoutings would rise up into the heavens, and then would sink down into the mellow strains, and roll along at the foot of the mountains, and die away in the most soft and musical manner they had ever heard. Then it would begin again high up in the heavens, in the very vaults of the sky, and descend in sweet, melodious strains, so that they could not refrain from shouting and weeping at the same time. The light would seem to burst forth high up in the heavens, and then descend in softer rays and light up the hills and the valleys, making everything more visible than the light of the sun, though it was not so brilliant, but clearer, like the brightest moon. I asked them how they felt, if they were not afraid. And they said at first they were, but after a while it seemed to calm their spirits, and so fill their hearts with love and tranquility, that they felt more like giving thanks than anything else. They said it was around the whole city, and some of the people were almost scared to death. Some said the world was on fire. Some said gods were coming down to destroy them. Others said a star has fallen, until Melchior, the priest, came out shouting and clapping his hands, seeing to the frantic with joy. The people all came crowding around him, and he told them that it was a sign that God was coming to fulfill his promise made to their father Abraham. He told us that the 1400 years before God had appeared to Abraham and told him to put all Israel under bonds, sacred bonds of obedience, and if they would be faithful, he would give them a Savior to redeem them from sin, and that he would give them eternal life, and that they should hunger no more, that the time of their suffering should cease forever, and that the sign of his coming would be that light which would shine from on high, and the angels would announce his coming, and their voices should be heard in the city, and people should rejoice, and a virgin that was pure should travail in pain and bring forth her firstborn, and he should rule all flesh by sanctifying it and making it obedient. And after Melchior addressed the people in a loud voice, he and all the Jews went into the synagogue and remained there praising God and giving thanks. And it goes on and on. I'm not going to read any more, but I thought that was just so to hear a firsthand what really happened, because scripture says, you know, angels sang, but these guys saw it with their very eyes. So yeah,
I'll enjoy that. When I was hearing that, and he's got the book if you want to take a look at it, maybe you want to order one for yourself. It wasn't canonized, but you know, there are so many documents, even it's mentioned I think in the end of John, that if all the books were written, you know, there wouldn't be room for everything of all the things that Jesus did. So there's many, many accounts, different Josephus, others, who were like the reporters of that day that brought some interesting insights into things. And, you know, Bethlehem is also called a town of bread or a house of bread. House of bread. And, of course, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Amen. He's the bread. Hallelujah. And it's interesting that that is the very place where they would prepare the sacrificial lambs. And yet he came as the Lamb of God once and for all. Amen. No longer does a lamb need to be slain to cover my sin because Jesus did it all. Hallelujah. So this is amazing. The truth, you know, and the things that the Holy Spirit reveals and through the Word of God. You know, when Paul was here in Athens, you know, he was speaking to people who had their own idea of who God was, you know, of and that's how we all are. If we don't know the truth, we just pursue something that fits us or seems to be right. The Bible says there is a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end is the way of death. Sometimes people are heading into death and not aware of it. They think that they're in life, but they're actually in death. And God came to remove us from death, amen, and bring us into life. He came to bring us out of darkness and into his light. He came to save us from our sins. That's why Christ came, amen, as the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. To pay the price that we deserve to pay. And so here Paul begins to explain to the Athenians in verse 24, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. And so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone or something shaped by art and man's devising. And, of course, he's speaking of idolatry. But Paul, of course, he knew that the Greek philosopher's words were written of the pagan god Zeus, also called Jupiter. He wasn't obviously the true god, but he applies this point that all men are the offspring of God. He was finding a common ground with the people that he was addressing. A place to start. It's kind of like when Jesus went to the woman at the well. He found common ground with the water, amen, the natural water, and then he could talk to her about the living water that he would give. But as the offspring of God that is created, mankind is created in the image of God. And the word offspring there literally means kin. We are the kin of God. Now, Jesus told the Pharisees, you know, you are of your father, the devil. And they were the religious leaders of his day. Amen. So it's not the universal, you know, if you will, father good of God, and that all men are children of God. Actually, we're children of wrath because of the fall. Amen. But God came to redeem us from that and bring us into sonship. So now we can become sons of God. Amen. To as many as received him. And this is the good news of the gospel. So Paul was speaking to a crowd that didn't know the true God. They had, you know, fashioned a God after their own imagination, which, you know, we can do as well if we don't have the knowledge of the Lord, you know. We can fashion a God that fits us, that conforms to our lifestyle, if you will, but not necessarily the true God. So this is important because there is only one salvation. Very clear. The Bible says it's only through Jesus Christ that a person can be saved. And Acts 4:12 says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So our salvation is linked to our faith in Jesus Christ alone. Jesus didn't say, I am a way. He said, I am the way, truth, and life. So it's very important to determine who Jesus Christ truly is. Was he God? Was he a prophet? Or was he just a good man? In Matthew 16:13, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And so they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, you are the anointed one. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Verse 17, Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Peter could only recognize Jesus by revelation as he was revealed to Peter. Hallelujah. So the credit belongs to God. Amen? Amen. What is Christmas all about? Well, it's about the incarnation. It's about God becoming a man, becoming flesh. Incarnation is the embodiment of a deity or spirit in some earthly form. Noel Webster. 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Some people want to deny the deity of Christ, that he is God. The Bible is very clear as to who he was and who he is. God was manifested in the flesh, and that word God means theos, deity, supreme divinity. In Matthew 1:23, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So the Bible is very clear who Jesus is. In John 1:1, we know in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. And then in verse 14, it says the Word became flesh. Who is the Word? Jesus Christ. And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Colossians 1 and verse 15, he, speaking of Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven. By who? By Jesus. And that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he, listen, is before all things. And in him all things consist. So Christ is the firstborn, it says, over all creation, or over every created being. Huh? So what does this mean? Well, some false teachers, hear me, suggest that Jesus was a created being using this scripture. But then if you read it in context, obviously that's not the case. That he was the first person whom God ever made. And the expression firstborn over all creation has nothing to do with birth here. It simply means that he is God's son by an eternal relationship. It is a title of position and not one of time. It is a title of who he was in position. When Joseph learned that Mary was pregnant with child, he was troubled. Why? Because he was not realizing that this was a supernatural conception. Amen. His fiancée was pregnant all of a sudden. Okay. And not the result of any unfaithfulness on Mary's part. In Matthew 1:19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Or in other words, break their engagement quietly. In verse 20, Matthew 1:20, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. Listen, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Verse 24, then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. And did not know her, did not have sexual intimacy with her. till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, the prophet Micah had prophesied 700 years prior to the incarnation. Micah 5:2, "And you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Jesus came to this earth. God became a man to be a sacrificial offering for our sins. In order to do that, he needed a human body to indwell. Hebrews 10:5. "Therefore, when he," Jesus, "came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me.'" He had to become like us. It speaks again of what? God incarnate, God in flesh. The animals that were offered under the law were types and shadows or previews that were pointing forward to the ultimate sacrifice of our Lord, the Lamb of God. Hebrews 10:1, "The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshipers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." What brought pleasure to God the Father was the fact that Jesus was willing, amen, to do all of his will, no matter what the cost. And Jesus proved that willingness, didn't he? By freely offering himself on the altar of sacrifice. In John 10:18, the Lord said, "No one takes it from me, my life, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." Now, the names that were given to Jesus also prove the fact that Jesus was God in the flesh. Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child, mankind is born. Unto us a son," what? Capital S, Son of God, "is given." He was very man, right? And very God. "And is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." The government is speaking of his eternal kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, and that he will reign over the nations as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So the scripture declares that one day Jesus will sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem. Amen. Isaiah 9:7, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. Come, Lord Jesus. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Hallelujah. One day there will be true justice on the earth. Amen. And in Isaiah 11:3, it says, "He," speaking of Jesus, "will delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by appearance nor make a decision based on hearsay. He will give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploited." Aren't you looking forward to that? "The earth will shake at the force of his word, and one breath from his mouth will destroy the wicked." Jesus is going to intervene for those who were oppressed by those in power. Can anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
"One day all violence will be removed from the earth." Isaiah 11:9, "They shall not hurt or nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Hallelujah. The day is coming when the entire earth will become productive. Isaiah 35:1, "The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose." Isaiah 35:2, "It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Hallelujah. He's going to restore all things, praise God. In that day, there will be peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Amen. Isaiah 35:10, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. See, this is the heritage of the sons of God, the children of God, those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord. Amen. Those who are in Christ. Hallelujah. Sighing. Amen. And mourning will flee away. The ransomed of the Lord are those who by the grace of God have turned from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. Isaiah 9:2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Amen. Hallelujah. Isaiah 9:6, here it is again. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Here Jesus is referred to as Everlasting Father and the Mighty God. Hallelujah. Mighty God means Almighty Deity. Jesus is referred to as what? Almighty Deity. Hallelujah. Remember, Jesus himself said in John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. They got mad at him then because you being a man claimed to be God. How could you be before Abraham? Because he was. Hallelujah. He is who was and is to come. Luke 2:10, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. And this great joy, by the way, is a result of true salvation. If you have Christ, you have joy. If you have Christ, you have peace. You have love. Amen. You have all the good fruit of God. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit is a result of Christ in you. Hallelujah. And as we commune with him, as we do life with him, as we walk with the Lord. Amen. He releases his fragrance through our lives. He releases his life in and through our lives. Amen. We are the salt. We are the light. Amen. If you have the light of Christ in you, amen, then you can be a light to this world. You mean the world doesn't need me? No. The world needs the Lord. Amen. And God's looking for a vessel. Anyone say here, I'll be a vessel for you, Jesus. He's just looking for a vessel. Amen. To shine his light through. Hallelujah. So how many know the Christmas story is more than just the cute story of a babe in a manger, but about God who came to this sin-sick planet in the form of a man, in the person of Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins. And you know, God came to this world in the darkest time of history, as they sat in the shadow, right? And walked in darkness, they've seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Came at the darkest time. You know, sometimes it's in the darkest moments of our life that God miraculously intervenes. Sometimes you're at the very end. You're just not knowing what's going to happen. How am I going to get through this? Am I going to survive this? And you're calling on the Lord and you're waiting on the Lord. How many know the Lord is never late? He knows what he's doing. He's working out his plan in your life. Amen. He's conditioning you and preparing you for eternity. Hallelujah. You got to go through something to be something. Amen. He wants his people to be strong in him. Hallelujah. And we can't be strong in him if we're strong in ourselves. If we're full of ourselves, we can't be full of him. God wants to take us to the place where we're weaned off of ourselves. Come on, of selfish living, where we're submitted to God now. And become a vessel for him that he can love through. Amen. The world needs the love of God. That's what people are hurting. They're dying all around us. Amen. They need the love of God. Amen. They need to encounter the true God. And that is through us, the ones that God would choose. Amen. For us to be his ambassadors, his representatives in this world. Hallelujah. Jesus lived a very difficult life. And then he suffered a brutal death on the cross for us. And that's one of our favorite, of course, scriptures that we so often quote. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you, Father. And Luke 2 and 10, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Hallelujah. Great salvation. Great joy. Because of Jesus. Amen. That's why I love that picture, that depiction of him. It may not be accurate, but I believe the Bible does say that he was anointed with joy above all his brethren. Amen. For there is born to you this day a Savior, Jesus. Amen. You know, I can remember the moment when I was in my bedroom and I'd come to the end of myself finally. And I had nowhere else to go but to the Lord. I was so down, all I could do is look up. And I called on the name of Jesus. I asked the Lord to help me, to save me. And he intervened. He came. And like a flood, his mercy flowed through me, his grace. I was forgiven. My heart was alive. Things looked differently, felt different. I had a new heart, a new desire. I was hungry for the Word of God. I couldn't get enough. Are you hearing me, somebody? I wanted everybody to know what happened. I wanted everybody to know my Jesus and how good he really is and what he did for me. Hallelujah. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Hallelujah. But this joy is a result of forgiveness, of having your sins blotted out. And God has removed them as far as the east is from the west and thrown what? Into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be brought up against you again, in other words, right? That's the grace of God, the mercy of God. We didn't deserve what Jesus did. Nobody deserved that. But because he loved us that much, he was willing to lay down his life for us. Like he said, "No man takes my life from me, but I lay it down willingly for my sheep." Because of the love of Jesus, we are who we are today. The joy is knowing Jesus now as Savior and Lord. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And I pray that everyone here knows this hope, knows this Jesus, amen. Not just in your head, not just in theory, but in reality. I knew about Jesus, but when I had that encounter, I knew Jesus was real. I was never going to be the same. Don't be fooled, amen. Don't be self-deceived. If you really do not know the Lord, other than knowledge about him I'm talking about, do you know him personally? If you don't, you need to make sure that you make your peace with God through Jesus, the only one that can save you. Amen? And you need to have Christ in you in order to have hope of glory. Hallelujah. He is our life, yes. And there is salvation and none other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me." Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your promise that those who turn to you, you would in no wise cast out. Jesus, we come to you. We call upon your name. We trust in you because we know only in you is there salvation. Because we believe that you are the Son of God, that you are the Messiah, you are the Christ, you are the way to eternal life. Oh, Lord, we look to you now. We call on you and ask you for grace, Lord, grace and mercy to help us, Lord, in these times that we're living in, God. We need your help. We need your grace. We need you, Lord, to strengthen us, to strengthen your people, strengthen your church. Strengthen us, Lord, with might in the inner man by your Spirit. Lord, make us strong in you. Make us bold for you. Make us fearless, Lord God. Immerse us in your holy presence, your Holy Spirit. Baptize our hearts with your fire, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, we want to run for you. We want to live for you. We want to shine for you. We want to burn for you. So, Lord, give us oil in our lamps. Hallelujah. Fill us with your holy presence. Drive out all darkness. Hallelujah. Would you stand this morning? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Lord Jesus. Let's turn our eyes upon him this morning. Can we do that? Thank God for his indescribable gift, the gift of his love, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world, for sinners slain. We love you, Lord. We appreciate you for your sacrifice for us, Lord. If it wasn't for you, none of us would have hope. We thank you that you love us, Lord. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Oh, come, let us adore. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. We give you all the glory. We give you all the glory. We give you the glory. We give you all the glory, Christ the Lord. Hallelujah, one more time. Oh, come, let us. Oh, come. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. And I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt. Ah.
Thou art exalted far above all gods. For Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above.
Near to God, He'll draw near to you. Come before His presence with singing. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from You are all things. And to You are all things. You deserve the glory. In every knee shall bow. Every tongue. That Jesus Christ is Lord. And He is Lord, He is Lord, hallelujah, He is risen, hallelujah, Jesus is Lord forevermore, and every every tongue that Jesus Christ is, Jesus is the Lord of all, Jesus is the Lord of all, Jesus is the Lord. Is the Lord of all. We have been redeemed. Jesus is the Lord of all. Jesus is the Lord of all. Jesus is the Lord of all. We have been redeemed. Jesus is the Lord of all. Jesus is the Lord of all. Jesus is the Lord of all. We have been redeemed. Joy, 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 joy. And He shall reign forever. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Amen.